Hello and welcome to episode 407 of Conversation Street, the extra bit.
Extra bits.
This is the episode bit with an interview with Ryan Prescott.
Definitely a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit. It's not a middle bit anymore. Because we're doing extra.
This is our extra bit with an interview that Michael did with Ryan Prescott about Chapter 2, Zach.
Indeed. We had a nice chat about the film on Saturday last week. So we're uploading it now as an extra bit to episode 407, just in case you want to hear about this before you listen to us chatting about this week's conversations. No, Coronation Street, which is on the other bit of 407 of the podcast.
I think they get it.
I'm just making sure, because this is the first week that we're trying this new format.
Are you ready for the interview?
I'm ready for the interview. I've already listened to it. I know what I'm going to say.
What I will probably do is bob in some music and then start.
Do it. Bob away. This week saw the online release of Chapter 2 Zach, the second instalment of Don Stevenson's sci-fi short film series. It stars a number of Corrie actors, including Ryan Prescott in the lead role. He's here today to chat about the project, as well as his time on the cobbles playing Ryan Connor. Ryan, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. That pleasure being here.
Well, first off, congratulations on your leading role in Chapter 2. And as we record this, the film's not officially been released online, but how's the reception been from the people who have seen it?
I mean, I can only speak for the people I've spoken to about it, but yeah, it seems to have generated a little bit of a buzz.
Mm.
It's had a nice reception from what people have spoken to anyway. So long ago, since we filmed it, it feels like so long ago, you know.
It was last spring, wasn't it?
Exactly. So by the time you get to the end of post-production, you're kind of going, oh, what did we do? What did we shoot? You know, so considering that, it's been all good.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to see it a week and a half or so ago, and I absolutely loved it, I have to say.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, it really, really is. How did you get involved with it?
Well, Dom pulled me aside in work one day and just straight up asked me.
Mm.
He said, would you be interested in doing a short film? And immediately just said yes, you know.
Yeah.
And then he shot me the script and we went on from there.
Yeah. Had you seen Chapter 1 beforehand?
No, I hadn't, actually. I did check up swiftly after. But no, it was all new to me. I didn't even know he'd done the first one. So, yeah.
So when you got to do a bit of investigating about it, what was it about the film that appealed to you and the role?
Well, mainly one of the first things if I'm honest, is Dom. You know, he's quite a passionate and driven young man, and that was kind of the first thing that enticed me to doing the thing in the first place, was him asking.
Yeah.
And aside from that, yeah, you know, it's always fun to play someone with powers.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, we all wanted powers. So shooting stuff like this is kind of the nearest thing you get to that. So, you know, it did look a lot of fun, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Although I'm hoping that people who listen to the interview now have seen the film by the time they listen to this. So we'll go into a bit of spoiler territory for the film, because we get a bit of an idea about what Zach's special powers are, but there's still quite a lot of mystery surrounding him as well. Have you been told anything more about Zach's background that's going to maybe be revealed in future chapters, or are you in as much as in the dark as we are?
I am pretty much as in the dark as you guys are, to be fair. And I think Dom will kind of reveal those cards and pull them away from his chest when it's time to. But I think that's kind of the whole thing about it. There's supposed to be a little bit of mystery there, you know. That's the whole like M. Night Shyamalan comic book feel to it, where you're taking our archetypal loner character and that starts as life's underdog and becomes a hero, you know. And there's, in that world, anything can happen, you know. And I think that kind of mystery surrounding it can be quite helpful to tell a story.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. He does seem to be a bit of a loner, but we still don't even get to learn a whole lot about, you know, what makes him tick, really, do we? How would you describe him?
At first, at the top of my head, he was kind of, he came across like a young man that hadn't quite found his place in the world.
Mm.
And there's a lot of us that can relate to that. And being all over the place and living here and there, and recently coming up from London, to Manchester and starting, you know, afresh here.
Mm.
I could, you know, there was some relation to that for me as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd always seen his gifts as a condition, like something to hide.
Mm.
And after being in and out of foster care his whole life and never quite fitting in, it's very easy to feel like an outsider.
Yeah.
So it was kind of similarly to Ryan, actually. There was some similarities.
Yeah.
Simply because it's someone that had yet to really find the place where he'd belong.
Mm.
You know. Mm. So I think for Zach, there was always this kind of outer objective of kind of hoping he'd come across the family that he'd always wanted, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of always kind of searching for his tribe.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I think he first sees a glimpse of a possibility of that in Olivia when they meet in the car for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Do you get the impression that he had the powers like from when he was born and always having those like the bumps on his arm when he got injured? Or
was it saying that? Yeah, I mean, I could only take what I have from the character. A lot of it was made from kind of taking the bones of a character and filling it out, filling the flesh out with the imagination. So a lot of it came from me.
Mm.
But from what I was given, obviously, as well, we had such a short period of time to actually film it in, you know, so everything was kind of fast-tracked.
Yeah, how long did it take you to film it?
It was across 2 weekends, two Saturdays, because obviously we were using some of the Coronation Street sets. That was the only time we could actually get it for. And avoiding the tours as well.
I didn't think of that. Go around
the studio. So we did what we could with the assigned time, you know. But all in all, the bulk of it was filmed over one Saturday.
Yeah. You must have been handcuffed at that table for quite a long time.
It's a good few hours, yeah. No, they started to chafe a little, but it kind of went. It kind of contributed to the environment of the whole thing. So.
That was filmed in the police cell in the Wakefield Police Station, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's the one. And we also did a couple of things on the road behind Victoria Court and in the garage.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any of Dom's tricks away. You know, anything that's up his sleeve, I think should remain up his sleeve. But some of the things we did for the car scenes and stuff, they were all in studio and outside
cool.
On the exterior of the street. So
So how would you say the experience compared to filming something like Coronation Street?
Well, it's a totally different dynamic, really. Although it was kind of the same speed. Whereas usually when you're shooting a film or a short film, you have a little bit more time.
Mm.
So that is kind of one of the main differences, whereas soap is a machine that just turns on ahead, you know, you've just kind of got to try and keep up with it. It's also a lot smaller cast and crew, so it was much more intimate. And everyone was there for their own reason, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like being at work. It was very much a passion project that everyone kind of took responsibility for.
Yeah.
And kind of just led off what Dom was doing. And Dom was the man with the plan, you know. So we were all kind of vibing off each other's energies and trying to fit as much work as we could into the allotted time.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
So it was good, you know. It was exciting. It was within the same environment as we shoot on a daily basis, but a very different dynamic. So
yeah, cool.
It was fun.
Yeah. So what was it like filming in a place that you knew, but for something else, and with other actors that you knew, but in different roles?
Well, it was great. It was just something different, you know. And no matter what, you always want to tell a different story. You always want to play a different part. You know, as an actor, it's always good to do that. So I think it was just an opportunity to step out a pair of shoes and put on some more, you know.
Mm.
And everyone kind of had their slice of the story in their hands. And like I said, obviously soap's a very different beast to tame, and a completely different scale.
Yeah.
So when you're doing something like that, everything's different. The atmosphere is different.
Yeah, so a lot of other colleagues of yours at Corey have also starred in similar projects or even directed, like Ben Price. Do you think it's important for TV actors to support the short film industry as well?
Definitely. I think it's important for all actors to explore and support all areas of the industry, you know.
Yeah.
It's always good to keep the acting juices flowing, you know, and do something different. Obviously, shooting film is very different to shooting soap. And I think it's great to kind of get out of that skin suit you've been in for years and do something different, you know. And it's also, I think it's quite important if you have, you know, some kind of voice within the industry or some kind of, you know, if you're able to work and get your work out there, then I think there's a responsibility behind that. You know, it's great to create your own work and have a voice within society.
Yeah.
I think that's just as important with short film as any other kind of genre.
Yeah, it's nice that Coronation Street lets you get out and do a few extra bits on the side as well, if that's the passion.
No, it's great. That's something that's kind of created an opportunity to keep, like I said before, the acting juices flowing, because it's a very different approaching a role in a different genre. You know, you with soap, you just kind of get it in the next script after script, rinse and repeat, kind of just trying to find the moments of authenticity and the important bits of the story as fast as you can.
So
I think it's important to do that. I think it's important to do all kinds of work, theatre as well.
Of course. Well, yeah, when you can. There's been a couple of other Corrie co-stars that have taken a break from Corrie for a bit to go on the stage, haven't they? Yeah,
you've got to do it, you know. That's it's kind of where the subconscious element of acting comes in, and it's difficult to kind of implement that when it's in such a technical environment. Obviously, there's always an element of technical things when you're shooting anything, but in the pace of soap, you know, you really have to be very technically on the mark, to speak, and very very quick.
Yeah, like I said, it's a machine, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. Whereas, you know, shooting a film, you've got a little bit more time to absorb the material and kind of develop those layers of stepping into a role and a time, you know, and what the sociality was like and what the, you know, the society of that day was like, and just all those little tweaks and adaptions that you make as soon as you've had the source, the script, you know. Yeah. Whereas soap is kind of like, okay, next. Moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been playing Ryan Connor for coming up to 2 years now, so you must, you know, feel that you know that character pretty well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't your first soap roller, was it? You did a bit of Emmerdale, a bit of Doctors beforehand.
Yeah,
did you always want to be a soap actor, or did it just kind of happen?
No, not at all. It was just the work that was available. I take all work that's available. it's one of those things about the industry, you know, you kind of... It's a naivete, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're starting out.
Yeah.
You kind of go, oh, I don't want to go into this line of work, or I don't want to do this, or I want to focus on this kind of thing. And when you get into it, and it becomes a lot more realistic, you know, you go, okay, you know, there are avenues that you don't know would place themselves before you, and you'd be a fool not to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Coronation Street's a fantastic show, and I never saw myself as a full-time soap actor or any specific actor, to be honest.
Yeah.
But a type of actor, sorry. But it's a great show with great people, really talented people off screen and on screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was an opportunity I definitely couldn't turn down.
Yeah.
I'd love to do more film and dramas. Who knows what the future holds?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just one of those. You take what you can, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a competitive industry.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've been the third actor to portray Ryan as well. I mean, was that challenging for you to step into an established role?
Yes and no. You know, I mean, always the what you want. Some kind of continuity.
Mm.
There's always a habit of wanting them to be some kind of continuity for the viewers, but aside from that, it's you, so there's no way you can regurgitate. You know, you can't get up there and do an impression of someone doing a role. But you know, it's very much got to come from you regardless. I say that with any role.
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm playing Hamlet, I'm not Hamlet. Regardless, you know, I'm not a I'm not a king, and my father's not dead, and yada yada yada. You know, it's very much got to come from you. The blueprint of the character and the story comes from the script.
Yeah,
and that script changes all the time.
Yeah,
so it's very much a process. Kind of finding another corner to this guy's personality and another layer, you know, and trying to make him authentic and three-dimensional has to come from some kind of version of who that person is in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, to take that from someone else is not only going to do the character a disservice, it's going to do your time there a disservice. You know, you're going to be wasting your time.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, coming from you, it's something you can explore and it's more exciting. Ryan's been a tricky one.
Have you been happy with the reception that your portrayal of the character's got?
Yeah. You know, from everyone I've spoken to about it, seems to have taken him on quite well. I think there was always kind of holes in Ryan's personality in the past. I think there was things that were missed, and that's just basically a matter of having the opportunity to let him unfold in different ways once you've got the script in your hand, you know. So it's always a process.
Yeah. Would you say that on the whole he's a good guy? Because he comes across as pretty lovable, doesn't he? But we've seen a few bad sides to him as well, and he can be a bit dense sometimes too. Would you say on the whole he's a reliable chap?
No, definitely. I think, you know, I always think that there is no good and bad. There's only people that do good and bad things, you know. So I think Ryan has the potential to be anyone. I think it just all depends what scripts put in front of me and, you know, and where it can go. I think he does have a big heart. And I think that one of his driving objectives is to kind of ground himself within some kind of community and family.
Yeah.
Which coming back from Ibiza was kind of an obvious for me to kind of run with this idea that he'd been away for so long. Mm. And imagine myself, I'd been away from home for about 12 years at that time. So it was something that I could relate to. And coming back and trying to actually build a life for himself. And it's that kind of coming of age thing. When he first came back in, it was very much that cheeky chappy lad about town, wanted to party, wanted to come back to his old stomping grounds and you know, kind of insert himself back into whatever family he had, you know, that might not have seemed that important at one stage, but as you grow up, you start to see the things you've taken for granted, and the most important things aren't what you've been chasing all along, you know. It's certainly not a feeling, it's these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've always been in your life, and they've always been there to support you, you know, and that's what it was for Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, he just wanted to kind of grow up a little bit, which I think he's having an opportunity to do now. And that, again, in turn, gives me the opportunity to kind of add layers to him and give him a little bit more of a three dimension, you know.
Yeah. Would you say that the character Ryan is similar to actor Ryan in many ways?
He's a lad from the north that there are similarities, but I suppose there are huge differences as well. You know, I've always kind of known what I wanted to do, and Ryan's kind of been the opposite. He's very much a little bit more of an opportunist, most definitely. I'm a little bit more fearful when it comes to that. But at the same time, there are a lot of similarities. You find those similarities, you know. It's kind of your job to discover and ground the character in those similarities, because it has to come from you. It has to be relatable, you know, in some way.
Yeah, and I guess once you've been in the role for a while, the script writers pick up on some of, you know, the direction you want to take him, and then they can build the character around you like that.
Yeah, no, they do, and every writer obviously writes different for Ryan, and every writer writes slightly different for every character. So it's your job to try and keep that continuity, regardless of the text. And at the same time, they're very, you know, very intuitive, talented writers, and they they pick up on tiny little things you do here and there, and you can see it coming up down the line, even 3 months, 6 months down the line, you know, little things that they've picked up on, which is really nice.
Mm.
And really great to work with.
One of the things that they have picked up on, I think, is the relationship between Ryan and Ali, you know, kind of brothers. Well, what is it about the pair that you think works so well?
Well, it's that, first of all, it's that kind of sibling rivalry that everyone can kind of understand.
Yeah.
You know, even if you've grown up as an only child, you had friends that had sisters and brothers that, you know, they either got on really well or they didn't, and it was quite the opposite at times, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a younger sister myself, so I completely relate to that kind of dynamic. But to be honest, I think it was James. It was just me and James working together. We really enjoyed ourselves. And we weren't afraid to kind of, you know, push each other's boundaries a little bit. But all that was just part of the fun. You know, once you get to know someone, you kind of click with someone and you start to develop a trust with your co-workers. That's when the work becomes more interesting, because the chemistry is on and off set. They all kind of contribute to those moments.
Yeah,
on screen as well, you know. And I think you can see that. I think you can see that chemistry. And I think when you're having fun, that's when you're being most creative. That's when you're relaxed. And I think a lot of the stuff that we did together, you know, it was very much that.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember where I first sort of realised now these two are good together was that. Do you remember when there was a story where one of you had lost a book or something and you had to go around?
Yeah, it was the big win that we thought we could had written a password down in a book.
Yeah, and that's right.
Rooting through the bins, which just happened to be on the day that we were doing that. It was tipping it down with rain.
Really?
And we went outside and looked at these two bins filled with rubbish and litter and tomato ketchup sprayed all over the side and stuff. And we just knew there was no other way. But it was going to be fun, and like I said, it was kind of an element of that. And in a lot of the scenes, even the more dramatic scenes, even with no comic relief, there was always a lot of comic relief with them too, because of that competitive nature that is naturally quite funny to see if you play the truth of it.
Yeah,
you know. So there was always that kind of contributed towards us having fun as actors, and that again in turn kind of shows and kind of bleeds through on screen.
Would you say you prefer doing the comedic stuff or the more dramatic stuff, like, you know, Cormac dying on the floor in front of you?
To be honest, I really love doing both.
Yeah.
I think I'm not. If I'm honest, I think comedy is more difficult timing wise. You know, it's much more harder to place because I can find something funny. It doesn't mean anyone else is going to find it funny. And I've realised that, you know, my humour is quite different. We all have a subjective opinion of what's funny, you know. So you just kind of, I think, always play the truth of whatever's going on in the scene. And if humour comes out of that, then it's honest and it's authentic. Otherwise, trying to play for a gag or trying to play up to a punchline, usually I find that I miss it, you know. So So it's just one of those. The dramatic things, again, like, I really love being able to try and explore and push myself into those places where you can be in a situation that's a little bit more critical and a little bit more serious and demands a little bit more of a higher energy. And I love those things too. But again, with soap, when you're just pacing through the material and you do a couple takes here, a couple takes there, you know, when you fit in everything that you've got to do in within the day, it can be quite difficult to try and hit those marks and hit those points of high kind of drama.
Yeah.
You know, it can be one of those things. It's very difficult to force emotion. You don't want to, something you don't really want to get into. You know, it has to come from some kind of real element in you that's reacting and responding within the scene.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it's just as much fun, but just as challenging in many ways.
Yeah. And I guess there's been a lot of drama between Ryan and Alia so far as well. I mean, would you say that they've got lasting potential as a couple?
I think they have. I think they could go all the way. You know, I would love working with Sarah. She's fantastic. She's super talented. She's really great to work with. So, you know, I think there's a lot of potential for the dynamic between them two.
We'll watch this space.
Like I said, again, the more you work with someone, the more you develop a real relationship, you know, and real chemistry, and that all kind of flows into the work. So I think the longer you get to actually create something with someone, the better it gets, and the more rounded and the more layered it gets. So I do hope they give Ryan and Alia a shot and some good storylines to come, you know, because I think there's plenty of means that I could do with it.
Of course, we just hope that you stay in the show, because over the past few years, we've seen a lot of the Connor clan numbers start to dwindle. We haven't got Aidan, Kate, Michelle anymore. We're still going to be seeing you on the show for a while to come, I hope.
I'm going to be there for a little bit. You don't have to worry about that for a while. They've kind of up and left, I think there's room there for Ryan's character to, I don't know, it kind of, he's obviously wanted to come in and kind of restructure his life around these people and around his family. And then throughout the past couple of years, people have kind of up and left the show. So he's kind of finding himself, where can he kind of put that anchor now, you know? So I think he's trying to ground himself in the people that are still around him and still trying to be very much a part of this community.
Cool. He hasn't got his mum to go to have anymore, has he?
Yeah, she's only a phone call away.
Very true.
It's one of those things. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he'll call in the darkest of times. But he's also growing up a little bit, you know. The character's pushing 30. I'm a little bit over it. he's got to that stage where he wants different things for his life.
And
he's starting to realise that he can have those things as long as he stops running away.
Cool, it's been lovely speaking to you today, Ryan. Thank you again for coming onto the podcast.
No problem, my pleasure. It's been lovely speaking to you too, mate.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of what Corey's got in store for Ryan, and also I really, really hope that chapter 2 does well, because I loved it, honestly. Can't wait for chapter 3.
Thank you very much. Yes, everyone say to Dom, oh, when's chapter 3? We haven't even written it yet. So I think the pressure's on there with Dom to create some kind of saga. I'm kind of pushing him for that as well. There's a lot of potential for the story to go a long way. Thanks very much for having me on, mate.
Cool, no worries. Nice speaking to you.
Nice speaking to you too.
Okay.
All right, mate. Cool. All the best.
Thank you. And there you have it. Thank you very much, Ryan, for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you so much,
Ryan. Lovely to hear from you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I think Ryan's great. I thought it's a lovely. It's not a coincidence.
Lovely coincidence that he happened to be in a short film that you watched, and also the TV show that you've been obsessed with for about 25 years.
I'm just happy that there's an opportunity for me to chat with him on the show, because we've really enjoyed Ryan's interpretation of Ryan Connor, haven't we? He's definitely my favourite of all the versions of Ryan Connor. I think he's.
Oh, yeah.
I had a bit of a chat with him after the interview finished, and we talked about how I really think that he's brought a proper human element to the character of Ryan, where he feels a lot more, you know, flawed and real than the other versions of Ryan, especially Saul Harris's version. And no offense to him or anything, but he.
Let's not be slagging people up.
I'm not. I'm just saying. I really like Ryan Prescott, and I thought that when in the last version of Ryan he was just there as a bit of a hunk and that was it, but I think that because he's a bit flawed now, he's as Ryan was saying, looking for, you know, trying to settle down, looking for his place in life. He's been adrift for a long time, and I'm really, really enjoying watching Ryan on the show, so it was great being able to talk to him on the podcast and indeed see him in chapter 2, Zach.
Yes.
So I hope you all enjoyed listening to that, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a load of other interviews. If you just listen to us for the interviews, I don't know how you do.
If you want to find more interviews, you can go to our YouTube channel. We're slowly uploading them there.
Along with a load of other stuff.
Along with character profiles and street talks and all kinds of separate bits and bobs. But
the main thing we do is talk about this week's Coronation Street, so that's on the other part of 407. So go and have a listen to that now if you haven't listened to it already.
Why don't you listen to it again?
That's it. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Give us an email or tweet
Follow
or anything.
Follow us on Twitter at Conversation Street.
Yeah.
Find us at conversationstreet.podbean.com. Review us on iTunes. We got Instagram.
Got loads of stuff.
We don't do TikTok.
We do not. We will not.
We can't work out why would it be of interest to anybody. Anyway.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for Dom for helping to arrange the interview.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you,
Ryan. The film
does
really well.
Thank you, all the rest of the cast and crew behind Chapter 2. Zach.
See you next time.
Can't wait for Chapter 3, Gemma. Bye.
Gemma. Oh, yeah, you're going to be in it. Music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.